Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go! This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
And that is us for a Saturday morning. We welcome you in, and wow, that's all I could say for the first 2 weeks of the high school football season. And if you are a high school football fan, whether you're listening at home, walking around with your phone, or hanging out in your car on this beautiful Sunday, you already know that this South Florida high school football season is going to be crazy good, and we welcome you in up until 11 o'clock. And good news for us. We never view anything as bad news. Good news for us. We'll be moving back to our nighttime position. We'll be on Tuesday, starting this Tuesday, right after Hurricane Hotline, from 8 until 9. We'll miss all the new people, but now that you know that we're around, you can hang with us and come back on 8 to 9 and follow us on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, a website that is devoted to high school football recruiting South Florida. We touch on everything as far as recruiting. We have guests from high school coaches to college coaches, college head coaches, and we've had quite a few of them. Just go on our website at SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Or go to WQAM.com and hunt us down there. Our podcasts, our replays, everything that's going to be up. Robert Grieper will put those up as he does every week. Rob has been awesome for the show, and if he didn't work 9,000 hours, we'd bring him with us to Tuesday. But he's done an awesome job, and he'll put everything together for you. Before we get into our show, and we have a stack show as we do every week, and if you're having a chance to listen to us for the first time, this is a show dedicated to recruiting, which is huge for high school football recruiting in South Florida. If you know that we have triple the amount of athletes playing in the NFL right now than any area in the country. So the interest in high school football is year-round, and it's rabid, and it's crazy. And certainly now that we're getting a chance to play the games, it's getting crazier. We know now from the last week, Carroll City had this week off, but just from the first 2 weeks that they played, the kickoff classic and the first week against American Heritage Plantation, that they're for real. We know St. Thomas Aquinas is for real. They took DeMatha to the shed last Saturday night and came back and beat Piper. They're definitely going to be a team to watch. Another team that we know, Miami Central. We watched them take Cardinal Gibbons apart last week, and then last night we had were part of watching them just jump all over Booker T. Washington in the second half. Booker T. Washington more than held their own in the first half. So, and then we know Deerfield Beach, a program that went up to Buford, Georgia, a team that if you follow high school football nationally is always regarded as among the tops in the country. They went up there and beat them last night after beating Chaminade Madonna in the opening game. So we know they're for real. Another team that we know for real now after the first couple of weeks, Christopher Columbus. And certainly this is a program that for years had Miami Central and Northwestern as its major Achilles of getting anywhere else, you know, higher than locally. And they came up with a huge win, a program defining win over Northwestern last night, defending 6A state champions. So we know those five teams right now. There's a couple of others that are starting to make their way. How about Palmetto with a second year in a row? You just don't, you know, you understand that going over to Naples is very tough. Coach Bill Kramer does a great job. I don't think they've lost 10 home games in the last 15 years. And 2 years in a row, Palmetto, Coach Mike Manasco has gone over there and beaten them. So they're starting to climb the ladder. There's a a few games going on today. We have one going on right now, kicking off in Atlanta, Georgia. Actually, Alpharetta, Georgia. Shaman Amadonna going against Muscle Shoals, Alabama. It's part of that Freedom Bowl Classic that Cardinal Gibbons took part in, as well as Douglas will be in action today at 5 o'clock. And later on in the program, as we said, we'll talk to Coach Scott Daniels, is the head coach at Miami Jackson. The Generals are off to a 2-0 start. His son is an amazing running back, but he's done a great job in bringing this program back. About 10:30 or so, I said last night, Miami Central for real. Well, Tatum Bethune, the starting linebacker, I guess DN, for Central. He'll join us, UCF commit, and a good one. And then about 10:20 or so, Coach Pat Surtain, who lost a tough game last week to Carroll City, is up in Georgia as well. And they're playing an extremely tough team today. So we'll talk to him. They're playing at 1:30. We'll talk to him around 10:20. But we start our program off with a team that we check in with a lot because they have quite a few kids from South Florida. But not only that, the UCF Knights have won 14 straight. They opened up the season the other night on Thursday with a resounding win against UConn. But we had talked about, you know, this program and with Josh Heupel, and we also talked to Randy Shannon about it, how they're going to continue to pipeline to South Florida and throughout the area. Nobody has a better grasp at that over the last year or so as Jason Beatty. He joins us from UCF Knights. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time and welcome aboard.
Of course. Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be on the show this morning.
Well, you know what? You guys silenced the critics right off the bat. You know, everybody go, well, you know, they lost this guy and lost that coach and lost 9,000 coaches and every support guy, and they're not going to be the same. But they still have one of the top quarterbacks in the country and certainly one of the best offenses around. And the other night, flex some muscle on defense. Talk about this program, because I don't think they're going away.
No, definitely not. Like you said, they still have Mackenzie Milton at their quarterback, Heisman candidate quarterback. On defense, you know, I think they had a couple challenges missing some tackles against UConn. Eric Mitchell had an interception, recovered a fumble on his first start. That was a good sign to see from Eric Mitchell. You know, replacing players like Shaquem Griffin and Traquan Smith, I can understand why some people were worried.
Yeah,
but I knew there was a lot of loaded talent. Otis Anderson, Gabe Davis. You add Trey Nixon from Ole Miss as a transfer.
Yeah,
you know, there were some worries about the offensive line. You had two new starters at the right side. They gave up no sacks. Mackenzie Milton had no interceptions. 5 touchdowns, over 300 yards passing, over 600 or 700 yards of total offense. I mean, they picked up right where they left off from 2017.
You know, Jason, when you take a look at this and all this success, and obviously everybody's watching because, you know, especially during the summer now with those consolidated camps, UCF had an opportunity to have almost 2,000 kids on campus. And, you know, just in the June and at the end of August, how has this all played out? The winning, you know, I mean, obviously everyone wants to tag the national championship, which is fine. You know, if you're a fan, you love it. How is this playing out with some of the recruits outside the area? I mean, because I know that the Orlando kids, you look at some of the guys, you know, from some of the marquee schools, and they're buying into this. What about out of the area? Has those coaches like Randy Shannon and people with that type of rep kind of helped that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I would say the kids love it. I think there's a lot of fans out there, you know, who aren't fans of UCF and national championship, who thinks it's really goofy. But if you give a high school kid, hey, we have a national championship, hey, we win conference championships, and you're going to play right away because it's not a program like Alabama or FSU where freshmen don't play right away, I think kids love that.
Right.
Even if you're outside of Central Florida. Like you said, you have Tatum Bethune on your show this afternoon, Miami Central. Like, he really good UCF commit. They recently added Deontay Stanley from South Carolina,
nice.
One of the top athletes in South Carolina. I think some recruits are a little hesitant right now just because...
They want to see how things play out, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's
for multiple reasons. Obviously, you know, a conference road win on your first start in your first game of the season, that helps.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you have everybody watching. And when you're one of just a few or a handful of games on that night, you're getting the attention. And everybody wanted to see, because you remember in the coming weeks and months after the win over Auburn, UCF was like on the nightly news. You know, somebody else, you know, making fun of the fact that they're – but here they are, because everybody wanted to watch them the other night. They all wanted to say, hey, listen, I wanted to see if this team's for real. And like you said, Mackenzie Milton is a showstopper, and they've been fortunate. UCF's been fortunate to have those type of kids like Jeffrey Godfrey and Blake Bortles and guys that maybe weren't as heralded coming out of high school, but they developed. That's important, too. Talk about that, because I think you have a few more young guys on that roster at the quarterback position and also at other positions that are young, and maybe this coaching staff will teach them a little bit more.
Yeah, really behind Mackenzie Milton, there's not a whole bunch of playing experience. Daryl Mack Jr., he played last night. He played on Thursday night for UCF for the first time, and he went off 70 yards for a touchdown.
Wow.
They have a really young team behind Mackenzie. Otis Anderson, he's just a true sophomore. Marlon Williams, he's just a true sophomore. Gabe Davis, he's a true sophomore. And those guys are impact players. They're not just wide receivers who get a little bit of playing time here and there.
Yeah.
Really, in terms of recruiting, like you said, you know, Mackenzie was not heralded coming out of high school.
No.
He only had two offers. It was Hawaii and UCF. And obviously he went to Hawaii for Scott Foss, and Scott Foss is now gone. But if you look at the current commit list, it's a bunch of average, not average, but it's a bunch of three stars. No real fours or fives like Georgia or Alabama or the bigger schools who you would think who would commit, who would get a lot of the top guys in the nation.
Right.
And that's what UCF has always done.
I understand.
They have a few four stars here and there, and there'll be some surprises on National Signing Day as we approach that early signing day period. I think the one thing UCF does well is they'll wait around for recruits. You know, when there's kids who are the four stars, looking at Miami, looking at US, and then they get
bumped. They
get denied from the bigger schools and go, okay, where am I going to go? Oh, UCF.
Well, we happen to have one open for you. You have to do that. Jason, that's an important part of recruiting. And you have people just think recruiting's just cut and dry. There's so many, you know, zigzags along the way that you have to be prepared for anything. I mean, you know as well as I do. But I think what has happened with the early signing day and then that follow-up signing day, it's going to probably eliminate a lot of that. I think you're going to have an idea pretty much. So you'll have the whole month of January. UCF will have that whole month of January to make a pitch for that four-star who maybe just got dropped by Nebraska. But that's not a bad thing. Jason Beattie joining us, 247 Sports UCF. Certainly, you're a Key West guy. You're a South Florida guy, so you know the talent down here. How important do you think, Jason, will it be for each year for them to start, you know, making South Florida that priority? I know in the last, well, maybe not Frost so much, but the regime before that with O'Leary, they went into Georgia a lot, and they went into a lot of areas, which is not terrible, but I think South Georgia kids, you're fighting with Georgia and Georgia Tech and all those schools from the Southeast. In South Florida, there's enough talent to come away with a Tatum Bethune and kids of that area. Talk to me about that, how the importance of recruiting in South Florida is going to play into their success.
Yeah, like you said, you know, there were some fans I was seeing on Twitter. There were a lot of people saying, oh, George O'Leary held us back, and, you know, you can however you want to talk about that. But in terms of recruiting, he really did. I mean, you look at the commits when George O'Leary was head coach, like you said, he didn't really go into Florida. He didn't really get along with the coaches in the area, and he really recruited outside of the area, outside of the state of Florida, using his connections in Georgia. Frost did a little bit better. You can look at some of the three classes he had, more Florida kids. And this year, so far, just in this class, there's only been, I'm looking at the list right now, just three players outside of the state of Florida, and majority of them are from South Florida. And a lot of that has to do with Randy Shannon, but this staff knows how to recruit in Florida.
Yeah.
And they're doing a pretty good job about it. They added, at the end of the month of June, they added Miles Dickens from Deerfield Beach, Keandre Gant from Port St. Joe, and Cameron Green from Bradenton, Florida.
Yeah.
All three-star guys, all top of the class right now for UCF, all from Florida.
And
so this staff definitely understands the importance of it. And something else, you know, we didn't really see a whole lot of recruiting between USF and UCF under Scott Frost. You know, they kind of let their sides be in terms
sure.
of the east and west side of Florida. And even in this class right now, you have Matt Lee, even though he's a local kid out of Hagerty.
He's looking over at
our offensive line. He was committed to USF. UCF came in and offered him, and now he's a UCF commit. And that didn't really happen previously.
Good stuff.
In the past couple of years.
Great.
So they understand the importance of staying local and staying in the state of Florida because, I mean, like you said, South Florida is just loaded with talent.
Yeah, an abundance of talent. Jason, thanks so much. Before we let you go, tell everybody how they could follow you and, you know, contact you about anything that happened to do with UCF.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, @TheRealBD. My last name is B-E-E-D-E. Follow along with all UCF recruiting and news on Knights247.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network.
Nice job. Good stuff, man. Hope to
Thanks
catch up with
on.
Anytime, man. We're going to be moving back to the Knights, but not UCF Knights, but the night time. but we'll be moving back starting this Tuesday, so we'll definitely catch up with you.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Good
you too. Jason BD, UCF Knights 247. When we come back, Coach Pat Surtain will join us from Georgia, where his team will play at 1:30.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Last week, big game between Carroll City and American Heritage to open things up. Carroll City, obviously, one of the teams to watch, but do not count out American Heritage Plantation, winners of 28 of the last 29 games, and certainly a team that is loaded with young guys, and when they put it all together, obviously, this is going to be a team that has an opportunity to end up in Orlando once again this December. But to get there, it's going to be a gauntlet. And one of the gauntlets is today as Coach Pat Surtain and his program is up in Georgia for the Freedom Bowl kickoff classic. And they're going to line it up about 1:30 today. And he joins us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Is he there? Coach?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. Thanks for taking the time. I know game day's tough, so I just wanted to, you know, talk to you a little bit about the mood of the team this week. Obviously, this is something for these seniors who've been with you since the beginning, hadn't experienced in a couple years. How was practice this past week, especially knowing that you had to get right back up and play a really good team?
It was spirited, man. I think the guys understood where we are as a team, and you know, you either could do one or two things. You can lay down, sulk, and feel sorry for yourself, or you can get up, go to work, and get prepared for a very good St. Joe's team. And I think they took on the latter challenge, and you know, we're up here in Georgia now, ready to get a W.
You take a look at your program, and I know you and I have talked about it. This is, you know, you expect. I mean, your son will be making his debut tonight. You have 9 or 10 other kids off of that team last year that are at the college level and getting ready to make an impact. But you've already said if you're going to make a team, then yeah, you expect not to replace them. But if you have a program, we have kids that are just ready to do the same thing as they did, step up and work together. How has that worked out? Because I know that last week, I mean, against a really good team, the one thing that everybody said is American Heritage never stopped. You guys never gave up. It would have been easy early, but you never did. You hung in, you scored those extra points. Talk about that and developing the character to win.
Yeah, like I always say, man, winning has been embedded in these kids. And, you know, I know we had a bunch of guys come in this year, and we try to get them caught up and acclimated on, you know, how this culture works around here. And, you know, it's going to be a working process, but I think those guys know they've seen it before them. They've seen the hard work and dedication it took to get to that level. I think the younger guys, they've bought in, and they want to get to that level because not many of these guys were part of those teams.
Right.
So they have to, you know, in essence, build their own legacy, build their own culture, because it's a totally different team with new guys, new personalities, And I think it's, like I said, it's a work in process, in progress, but, you know, it's a long season. I think around week six or seven, I think we'll get rolling.
But this is a year that having that those seniors who have been with you are is vital, because these are guys that, I mean, because you and your coaching staff can only teach so much. You're not going to have the time right. to do everything. You need these seniors. You need the Franks of the world and some of those kids who've been in this program and know what you guys expect to be your helpers. How's that worked out too? Because I know you have a core of those.
Yeah, it is. It's very vital to getting things done. You know, at some point in time, you know, the coach's words only go so far. But I think, you know, as teenagers, 16, 17, 18 year old, if they hear from their peers, you know, from guys who they're with every day, I think some of the lessons become more valuable. And we've had leaders, you know, step up in that aspect. You know, the Bo Johnsons of the world who's been in this program since a freshman and sure. other guys of that caliber. So I think those guys took heed to it and, you know, losing that game kind of, you know, brought things back to reality. Like I told them, man, going undefeated is hard to do.
Shit.
And, you know, to do it two consecutive years, man, was a great feat. But, you know, this is just how things is, man. You win some, you lose some, but you live to fight another day. And I think we'll be ready, you know, in a couple of hours against St. Joe's.
No doubt. Pat Surtain joining us, head coach, American Heritage Plantation, two-time defending state champions, 5A. You take a look at this team that you're playing today. This is a team that beat Deerfield last year. They you know, have. But you know what? It's not unlike any team that you haven't played. Last year you played Bishop Sullivan, a big team, a team that was quick.
Right.
You've played these teams before. You've been on the road. But as you said, a lot of these kids haven't. How do you think that's going to take place? A lot of these kids haven't been in this spotlight before. Now is when, obviously, this has been a week where you needed Bo Johnson. You needed those guys who've been around say, listen, it's no different than any other game. We're just going out to play. Do you need that? You know, you need that before the game? Is there any special pep talk we're going to hear?
Oh, I think it started with the preparation. Like I said, after that loss, we had an extra day to get prepared.
Right.
So, you know, we spent those first 2 days in the classroom, you know, really getting a feel for what they like to do. And with them playing only one preseason game, it gave us limited film, but we went back in the archives and looked at stuff from last year. And we kind of got a good idea of how they want to attack us. You know, they have some very good players on that team. They're big, they're physical, but we're faster.
Yes.
And we have experience in playing in the team. Like you said, Bishop Sullivan, we played Don Bosco a couple of years ago. So we have an idea of how to play these guys. And like I tell them, man, we just got to go out there and play our game. Don't make the stupid mistakes, stay within ourselves and play mistake free football, and we should be fine.
Last Saturday morning when you watched the film of the game, what did you come away liking about this team?
Like you said, we didn't quit. I thought our junior quarterback Evan Rose, he really showed me a lot, and you know, I know that he can take this team to places where we're used to going. And then you was at the game,
Blue yep.
game. We were up 10-7, 14-10.
Yep.
And boom, we get the second half kickoff. We fumble, and things just kind of, you know, downward spiraling on us. But our guys hung in there against a very, very good Carroll City team.
Right.
You know, like I tell them all the time, we can go schedule the Sisters of the Poors of the world. We want to challenge ourselves because it's going to help us in the long run. So, you know, that's how I go about scheduling for this program, because we are one of the preeminent programs in the country. And, you know, those kids see that, and I think they're going to be ready to play today. Like I said, we need to get back on the winning track today and you know, see where we stand from there.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought in the early going last week that Mario called a really good game, you know, the boot for Ed to give him some confidence, because you know that Carroll City's defense is going to be really aggressive and they're going to go to the big guy coming up the middle. And I thought that was perfect for Ed's confidence, because he gets in there and scores a touchdown, like you said, puts you guys ahead at the time. You need a few more of those today. I'm sure, you know, that's in the game plan. You got a tremendous running game as well as some, and I'm looking forward to seeing Doug Emelian step up a little bit more, because I think he's going to be the guy, coach, down the line that's going to make those plays that can turn games.
Right. And, you know, we may not have the guys on offense that we had last year in Miles Jones and Jordan Johnson and Anthony Schwartz.
Right.
And a plethora of guys who are now playing on Saturdays. But we pre-strength in numbers, and we feel we have enough guys who are able to make plays, you know, to kind of stabilize that force. And, you know, we have three terrific running backs. We have some playmakers on the outside. We have a guy in Ed who can deliver the ball. You know, we had a problem with staying healthy on the offensive line, but, you know, most of those guys are back this week. And I think we'll have a pretty good showing. You know, we got off the bus after a 10-hour all drive, got on the field, and had one hell of a walkthrough. So I know the kids are focused. Nice. And they're ready to get after it in a couple hours.
Before we let you go, now taking a step away from a coach and being a dad, your son makes his debut at the collegiate level tonight for Alabama. Talk about that, what you guys are thinking, you and your wife and your family.
Oh, man, we're looking forward to it. Just a proud moment as a dad. You know, just seeing him. This was one of his lifelong dreams to play college football. Not only Pat, but all the other guys who've been in the program over the years. Just, you know, an outstanding time for Heritage football. And I actually have to leave our game right at the end of our game and fly to Orlando.
Nice.
So I might miss the first quarter, but I get to see him. So
yeah,
it's going to be special for us.
I'm glad for you guys. Best of luck today. I know that's order of business number one. Get that W,
absolutely.
Come home 1-1, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Boo. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Having. Coach Pat Surtain, you got to feel great that what he's feeling as a dad, feeling as a coach now, you know, playing a big game today and then flying to see his son make the debut with Alabama tonight against Louisville. So, wow, you know, that's an emotional day for that family. Like I said, it's a big one, and we thank him so much. Speaking about big-time games, and as we mentioned before, I think I rattled off five teams that we know after week two are for real. I mean, definitely for real. We watched them. We understand what they're all about, and they're going to be in the mix all the way. And one of those teams, Miami Central, no doubt, on both sides of the ball. Game breakers, playmakers on both sides. One of the players who I think defines that team, especially on the defensive side, is the senior Tatum Bethune, who is on his way, as Jason told us before, to UCF, and certainly going to give that program a big-time boost. And he's kind enough to join us this morning. Tatum, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations last night.
Thank you.
You take a look at a game last night, which is an emotion-filled game. I mean, you know, let's make no mistake. Those two teams have played some awesome games through the years. A lot of talent has come off of that field. A lot of them are in the NFL right now. What's it like to play a game? Because you guys have to get up so many darn times. I mean, you have to get up for Northwestern. You have to get up for Carroll City. You have to get up for Norland and Booker T, which is a team that, you know, for so many years had paralleled Central with all those state championships. What's it like for two teams of that caliber to be on one field?
Well, it's still great. It's a great experience dealing with the crowd and everything, but you have to come on the field with a certain mindset. If you make a bad play, I can't let that get to you. So we practice like it's a game. So every day we go over things like that's going to happen in the game. So you already know what to expect.
I was going to say, sorry to interrupt, but what is it about this defense that you guys feel that no one's crossing that line on you? No one's going to cross that line. So that's got to give your offense just that's just like having a pitcher out there who could throw 99 miles an hour and everybody behind him knows, hey, listen, just do what you got to do and everything will work out. What makes this defense so special? Because whenever you guys play, it's just you have so many talented guys running towards the ball.
But the heart of our defense, honestly, I think is our D-line, because we have Jesus Machado, Trayvon Allen, Andre Augusta, and then sometimes I'll be at DN,
yeah.
They'll move me to linebacker. Then we have our DBs, Harry Gray, Darius Conley, Andrew Bloodsaw, Davidson Cadet, and our linebackers getting there, Justin King and Rudy,
yeah.
Rudy Jean-Claude, just a 10th grader, but
he makes plays. He's always around the ball.
Yeah.
And you watch that, and I watched you guys last week, and you look in the three games against Atlantic, who we're finding out is not a terrible team. I mean, they beat Dwyer, they beat Palm Beach Central, so they're 2-0. So, and then Cardinal Gibbons, a team that a lot of people were talking about, and you completely shut them down in the second half. Is it that you guys have more team speed, you think, on defense than a lot of the offenses that you go against?
Yes. I feel like in practice, it's like game days feel just like practice because our coaches make it everything practice. They have speakers outside so we could get used to the noise if it's a big crowd. We do everything, two-minute drills, everything's fast, full speed.
We're speaking with Tatum Bethune, Miami Central. I was going to talk about here. You come off a huge game. With Atlantic was a defending 8A state runner-up. Then you play Cardinal Gibbons, and then you come back 6 days later and play a rival. And now, next week, you guys are on the road. You go to Washington D.C. And then you come back and you have a game, and then you play St. Thomas. Who has a tougher schedule? I mean, you guys must play the toughest schedule in the country. Talk about that and how it's going to get you ready for your district.
Well, I feel like our schedule should make us perfect for our district. There's no letting up. So, like, everything is on go. We go. So there's nothing to slow down. We go to the district. We already have that fast pace and none of that. None of us falling back.
Yeah.
And lazy.
And talk about also your offense. This is you look at the offensive line, and there's very few that have the size, the athleticism. You look at Maurice, he anchors a really good line. Then you have a quarterback in Maurice Underwood, who I will tell you, in the first three games of the season, there are very few that have done a better job. And I know that he took a lot of criticism in the offseason. I think I said to you last night, I mean, he's throwing a ball all over the place with confidence, too. And then you have a running game that I think right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Shamar Paul has kind of put you over the top, because you have Flex and certainly Keyshawn Owens, who are big-time kids, but then here Shamar gives a little dose of his action, and you're throwing the ball. I'll tell you, Tatum, it's going to take an effort to for anybody to beat you guys this year, and I don't care who it is. I mean, because if you've watched Miami Central over the last couple of weeks, I mean, there are very few flaws on the you guys even kicked the ball. You have a kicker. How do you feel about going against that offense? Because it's a whole lot more versatile than it was last year.
Yeah, I feel like our offense is going to be great this year. Once they're going, there's no stopping. So our offensive coordinator, Coach AJ, once he get going, it's no letting up. So Maurice and the other Maurice, the lineman, he keeps everything going.
Yeah.
His quarterback, him and Lexington, they keep everything going. The O-line, the receivers, Anthony Frederick and Anthony Cullinan.
Yeah. And Jalen, we can't forget Jalen. You got to give Jalen a shout out too.
Yeah, Jalen Young.
Yeah, he'll get upset at me for not reminding you. But this is a team that I think that's going to be really tough. Now next week, obviously, when do you start watching films for? Is that St. John's you're playing next week?
Yes, sir.
So when do you start watching on Monday with that?
Yeah, we actually start watching film like today.
Oh, okay.
Like our coaches will probably send us some film, tell us to look for this play. What would you do on this play?
Yeah.
Monday we'll come in and have an hour of film or 2 hours and go on the field and go over it.
You know, we just talked to Coach Pat Surtain, whose team's up, American Heritage, are playing, a nationally rated team up there today from New Jersey up in Atlanta. And he said the same thing that I'm sure you'll say. A lot of these teams that you're playing are big and they're good, but they're not as fast as you are. And he feels that because of the team speed advantage, you're always going to have that advantage. How do you look at that?
Yeah, I feel like there's nothing that can compare to South Florida speed.
Right. Everybody runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we let you go, UCF, great commitment. I know you were looking at them for a while. Certainly a program that is on the rise. A big win the other night, going 14 straight. Talk about that commitment and what you like about it.
Well, I always had an eye on UCF. That was one of my favorite schools. And then Coach Shannon came along when he was recruiting me at Florida and became at UCF, so I felt like I was making the right decision, committing there. They treated me as family as soon as I committed. So I felt like it was home when I went up there to visit. I got a lot of players up there, like Kenny,
Yeah, Eric Mitchell.
Yeah, I know a lot of people out there, so I feel like I'm going to be do great out there.
So Kenny, Kenny went to Oregon State, right? Now he's at UCF?
Yes, sir.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good program. We talked earlier to Jason Beadle from UCF 247 Sports, and he was saying the same thing. A lot of young guys on the team. You know, there's a marquee quarterback, a defense. Did you watch any of the game the other night?
Yeah, I watched the game.
Yeah. When you watch a game like that, yeah, obviously you look at your position, but how does that team look? They look pretty athletic to me.
Yeah, the team, everything I've seen about the team was speed. Everything nice. They do is fast.
Good stuff. Well, Tatum, I appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on everything that's come your way and certainly your team. I know it would be a great way to end your senior year, holding that trophy in Orlando. Certainly you guys got off to a great start. Looking forward to everything you guys do. We'll see you plenty more. And, again, thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Good stuff. Tatum Bethune, the outside linebacker, defensive end at Miami Central. He's a big-time kid. But you have to watch when Central plays Carroll City, Central plays Northwestern, because these will be some of those games that you'll always say, wow, I remember that guy. This is amazing. And anytime you go to a game down here in South Florida, that's the way it is. You have talent all the time. And certainly if you're listening anywhere and need to get your daily information, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, our website. It's all of our social media, whether it's our Facebook, our Twitter, where everybody's following us. We're giving out information every day. We're giving you all the scores, the schedules this week. Our top 15 will come out. A lot of shakeup in the top 15. Not so much after the first week, but you had a lot of teams losing for the second time that were top 10, top 15 teams. So we'll be checking that out as well as everything going on our website and on our social media and the radio show. Again, if you're a loyalist and you follow us, you know that we'll put everything up on Facebook and Twitter, so you can follow us up that way. But we'll be on this Tuesday evening. We'll be on right after Hurricane Hotline. Great time. Obviously, all the Hurricane fans will be listening, and then they'll stay on from 8 to 9 to listen to us, so we're excited about that. We'll wrap up this Saturday morning edition of SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Coach Scott Daniels from Jackson will join us next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
One of the teams, as we talked at the beginning of the year in 5A, obviously Cardinal Gibbons and American Heritage were on everybody's mind, but certainly through the first 2 weeks, those two teams right now, as I said, are 0-3. And one of the teams that people were mentioning on the outside, you know, one of those don't sleep on, is Miami Jackson. And the Generals off to a 2-0 start. Head coach Scott Daniels is kind enough to join us this morning. Coach, thanks so much, and congratulations so far.
Hey, good morning, and thanks a lot.
Big start for this program. I know the alumni base for Jackson is crazy. I mean, they've been around for a long time, and when they're winning in anything, they come alive. And certainly now on the social media, all the Jackson fans coming back. But you've put this thing back on the tracks with some really good coaching and a lot of talent. And talk about how this has come together for you this year.
Well, it's coming together a lot better than I expected. You know, I knew it was going to be a kind of tough challenge when I took the job, but I knew I could have success because, you know, Jackson always had the pieces to be successful. So all I needed to do is come in with a decent plan and some good coaches to support me, and I knew we can probably do some good things this year.
You know, Coach, everybody mentions your son, who's easily one of the best, if not the best, for 2021 running backs in the country. But there's more to it. I mean, this team, and I look at the players that you have on this team, you've got some size up front on both sides. You have some athletes on the outside, and you have some playmakers on defense. Were you kind of surprised? Because I know that you knew you had your son, you had a couple other kids, but when you talk about adding a couple of more pieces to that puzzle, things get mighty interesting, and you give these kids 2 weeks of victories and of confidence. Talk about that process, and who's kind of surprised you?
Well, I knew that I had to add more pieces. It wasn't hard to do. You know, Jackson has been a program in the past that could win.
Sure.
So I know once people start feeling a little confident about the situation, the talent will come. But I added a lot of good pieces. I added some pieces on the outside. I added two more quality running backs that are just as good as anybody in the county.
Right.
With Darius Chester and Shenard DeRozier.
Yeah.
Some guy already had a outstanding blazing receiver there when I got there named Antoine Brinson. And then I added some other pieces later on with Breon Filler at outside and Byron Grant on the outside. That's on offense. And on defense, I added a hell of a safety and a great corner in Wendell Fillard and Harry Henderson.
Wow.
And, you know, up front in the box, I got Nathaniel Price and Philman Roundtree and Ernest Johnson.
Wow.
I feel good about my situation.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You're stacked up. There's a lot of names there that I recognize from a lot of the schools, and certainly kids who have already gotten it done. I mean, you know, before they got there, which is probably good for you. So the teaching is on some of the other guys and not so much everybody. What is that like? I mean, because you're getting guys that are coming into your program that have more than a basic knowledge how to play the game. You look at the kid Fillard. I think he's one of the most underrated players in South Florida. A lot of people need to understand that he's very athletic and he's a very skilled football player.
Oh, I knew of him as a safety, but I didn't know he can do all the other things this man could do.
Right.
And he's just an athlete.
And we know Breon Filler can catch the ball a little bit, and certainly Harry Henderson is another one of those under-the-radar guys who all he does is make plays. So you've got a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you take a look, Coach, and everybody could talk about Givens and Heritage all they want, but you guys got any given night, can punch a lot of people in the stomach. And certainly after the first 2 weeks, you got a lot of playing time for some of those young kids. What was that like? Because I know when you'd much rather start off with somebody that you could use a couple of these, you know, extra kids, like you mentioned. What was that like from an experience factor?
Well, I have a young team, and a lot of these guys are older guys. They're juniors and seniors. So I needed that aspect to the team,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more experience, a little bit more maturity. And they gave me that factor, and then now that the kids already kind of knew each other, so they're gelling together. So it's coming together pretty good.
And now you hit a stretch where you're going to have some better teams, teams that have a little bit more size, teams that are going to match up. And obviously now you've got some of those kids who hadn't been in the spotlight a little playing time, so they're ready for this. What are you looking forward to over the next couple of weeks, you know, especially because you got bigger teams and it'll test your offensive and defensive lines?
Well, I after those first two games, when we met with the kids and we talked with the kids, I let them know, yeah, you know, these games were kind of easy for us,
mm-hmm.
but the real challenges is ahead of us.
Right.
And we're going to be playing teams that have been winning, used to winning. So we know it's a tall task, but I think we're up for it.
No doubt. Scott Daniels joining us, head coach Miami Jackson. And as I said, when Jackson wins, there's so many alumni, you know, and they always come back. And they come anyway. You see them sometimes at the Soul Bowl against Northwestern, and, you know, they're out there from classes back in the 70s and 80s. They support their program. What's it like that? Because, you know, a lot of schools, you know, don't have that tradition, like a Jackson, like a Northwestern Central. Talk about that tradition.
Well, it's kind of weird because I'm getting alumni that played way before I did when I was at Jackson.
Right, right.
Coming in and supporting the program. So it feels good. It feels like we're getting back to the old Jackson, how it used to be when I was in school and we had all those great athletes back in the the 80s and the early 90s.
Wow.
And we were great in basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming back to life.
Yeah,
coming
yeah.
Coming back to life.
Well, I was watching game day, and I watched Lee Corso, who was a Miami Jackson general back in the day. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, you get guys like that. That's what, you know, sometimes, like, I ask kids at Miami High and Coral Gables, because those are two programs that, like, are steeped in tradition back in the 50s and the 40s, and some of the great players that have come through. Jackson's the same way. In the early, you know, in the early 60s and the 50s, they had a lot of tremendous football players back then. Because there weren't that many programs. You walk around that campus, and for generations, Coach, there have been athletes. So, you know, back in my day, you know, they had tremendous football players that have come out of there. The Walker brothers, who went on to play at Pitt and then in the NFL, and you can go for, you know, generations of Lenny Harris's and people like that who were very versatile.
Yeah.
You see guys like that, and Lenny, you know, I remember Lenny when he used to play baseball down at Miami Baseball Stadium back in the day, and a tremendous athlete, and also was offered by Purdue to go there for quarterback and play football, and Robbie Armenteros and all those guys. See, there's a lot of talent back in there, and I'm glad you're bringing it back, because there's a lot of people that always talk to me about it. I know that when Jackson's doing well, everybody likes it. Talk about this team as we're coming up. I believe North Miami's your next game. Team a little bit more size, a good defensive team that seemed to play well last night, I guess, defensively against Southridge. What do the Pioneers have that you've seen?
Pioneers are... They're a big physical team. I saw them play, and I was like, "Wow!" And I know their coach. He's a
good guy,
a great head coach,
yeah.
And he's even a better defensive guru. Yeah. He really knows what he's doing. And I know I'm gonna have my hands full with him. But that's a very big game for us.
Yeah.
To come out the box. So we're gonna put a, you know, our big boy pants on, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to compete.
Yeah. Before we let you go, talk about your son, one of the best backs. You know what? I mean, he's a humble guy. I mean, he's really good, and he you'd never know it. He doesn't talk about himself very much. He's quiet in that way. Talk about a little bit about who many think is easily one of the best running backs we've had in a long time.
Well, he's too quiet to me. I told him, you got to express yourself a little bit more, son.
Yeah.
You know, you got some good things going on, but he just takes it one day.
Yeah.
He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Easy kill. But when he runs the ball, he runs with anger. He runs to score. And a lot of people think that he don't have great hands. He has great hands.
Good stuff.
So. And everybody knows he's a blazer on the track.
Yes,
so,
he is.
You know, I'm expecting him to help the team along with all the other pieces. And I think he'll have a great season.
Awesome. Coach, again, thanks so much. We'll get out to see you soon. And you got some of those games that we'll be checking out. And best of luck. And we're proud of what you're doing.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me.
Anytime. Scott Daniels, coach at Miami Jackson, ends what has been a really good show. Started off with Jason Beattie from UCF Knights, Coach Pat Surtain, whose team's up in Georgia, and Tatum Bethune, whose Miami Central team defeated Booker T. Washington. Don't forget, Tuesday night, we're with you 8 until 9 o'clock, right after Hurricane Hotline. Robert Grieper, thanks so much for what you do. Enjoy your program, and we'll see you tomorrow, Hurricanes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.